HR Cisco, where we are putting the spotlight on shared perspective, dialogue, and culture. So you have colorful hair?
Don't care. Tattoos?
Show us your ink. Got a unique style?
That's cool. Pop culture geek?
Many of us are. So we invite you to join us in real discussions of passions and vulnerabilities.
And learn what it really means to be a Cisconian.
Welcome to the conversation. All right. Well, welcome to the We Are Cisco podcast. Today we have in the studio Marianne. Marianne, thank you so much for joining us.
Yes. Pleasure to be here. I'm so excited. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Well, we've been looking forward to these conversations. So what we're going to have you do is just, how about you introduce yourself to the rest of the world? Maybe talk about who you are, how long you've been at Cisco, and what you currently do at Cisco.
Sure. So my name is Marianne Currier. I have been at Cisco for, believe it or not, going on 20 years. That kind of happened by accident, but we can get into that a little bit later. Just something I kind of stumbled upon, and I'm still here because of what a great place it is to be. What I do today, I wear many hats in my roles. But today, my focus is cybersecurity marketing. I've had the luxury of working on both the internal focus and the external focus. So currently focused on external, but just recently transitioned from the internal focus. And we can double click on that if you'd like later.
Okay. Nice, nice, nice. Okay. And you talked about 20 years. That's a long time. I feel like I don't see very many people that make it to that mark anymore because these days people jump around.
I look at Marianne and I'm like, there's no way you've been here more than 5 years.
Okay.
So let alone, I'm like, did you start as a kindergartner? Like, this timeline does not add up to me.
Standard response.
Did Cisco hire, like, children at some point or something? Yeah. Like, were you some sort of
child labor? No, they're clear.
They are clear.
No, it is the standard response. And thank you, by the way. What actually happened is I started as a receptionist.
Okay.
They now call them lobby ambassadors. And I had just gotten out of high school and was toying with the idea of college, wasn't really sure, had to help my mom with some things at home. So I wanted to get financially stable and make her feel secure, help out how I could. The rest is why I love Cisco, the people at Cisco. I was afforded opportunities. I seized the opportunities. People saw potential in me. And the story is 20 years later, I'm still here and I've worn a number of hats, had many opportunities, and I'm still excited to see what my path looks like ahead. I have no desire to leave, constantly learning. And it's just a fun place to be and just to see the business evolve over 20 years. I feel it's such a treat. And,
yeah.
You know, long timers used to be more common at Cisco, but I feel like there was kind of a turn and just generational. And, you know, I've seen a lot of people retire even because of my time here. I was always the young one and I'm not that anymore. So it's kind of fun just seeing that flip flop.
That's awesome.
Well, what has been your thus far, like the favorite role or, you know, the time, I guess, if you can narrow it down?
Yeah, I feel like it would be hard to say just one thing, but I can tell you some of the roles that I really, really enjoyed that stand out to me. And then there's some roles that were really interesting for learning, but I wouldn't necessarily want to do it as a day job because of my style and who I am. But I got to dabble and find that out, which is a treat.
Yeah.
The roles that stand out that I really, really loved, there was a time I was in a group called Corporate Positioning. And within that group, I actually interviewed for a lower level position and was talking to a gentleman that was in the interview circle. And he mentioned that, you know, I don't think that we want to put you here, but we have this role that's coming up and I want you to try that. Well, basically transitioned me from a project manager to a program manager, and I got to build and cultivate programs. And one of those things was actually taking the standard model of events at Cisco, which were always in person. People love in-person events.
Yeah.
This particular event was a high-level event where Directors Plus got to go and bump elbows physically with all of our executives.
Okay.
And it was a really big deal. Mm-hmm. In-person was the draw. We had to tell these people after years of having that expectation, we're going to scale that back due to budget and just restructuring and accommodate the wave of the future and make that virtual.
Oh,
It sounded impossible. It sounded like everyone was just going to hate it, but we got a good team of people. We had a great consulting agency we were working with, and we didn't please everyone right off the bat. It included focus groups, you name it. I could go on for the in the level of detail of all the things we did to make that possible, but net, why I enjoyed it is we saw the shift of the culture and people actually start to become open to that. In experiencing
okay change. Yeah.
Right. But experiencing the resistance as well. It wasn't all butterflies and puppy dogs. It just wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing what my team was able to do together as a team to make that the best it possibly could be, and seeing how invested Cisco was in really doing that, and then being able to see the cost savings that we afforded Cisco, getting the change management in place, and then seeing how we could set the future for how things were really going to be, because this was just one thing that Cisco turned into a virtual event. It was, it was kind of a pilot. That's one thing that really stuck out. But again, it was the people that we worked with. It was the energy around it and the opportunity. That wasn't my job when I first signed up for that, but that's one of the things that got put on my plate. And you never know what's going to come your way. Yeah. And we killed it. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. And it's one of those things that I put a feather in my hat in. That's one of the roles. And then the second role stands out is one that I actually just transitioned out of, and that was internal awareness for cybersecurity. Huge undertaking.
This is massive. Like, huge is not, like, massive, tremendous, like, ginormous. Think about that kind of level.
Okay.
If you understand the company size of Cisco, we have contractors, we have FTEs, full-time employees, excuse me. We have just a massive amount of people. Everyone has their own agendas at Cisco. We all have our priorities. Our priorities are what matter to us. And that's what we're being measured on. And that's what we have to achieve. That means there's a lot of noise in the company. When you want to motivate someone to do something and convince them that your priority is the priority they should focus on, what do they get out of it? What's in it for them? And what is it doing for the company overall? It's a really big undertaking to sift through the noise. And so myself and a partner had the large opportunity to come up with a creative way to reach people and incentivize and motivate them to pay attention to our ask. And I think that we made a really big bang. I definitely feel like we still have a lot of work to do. But as far as getting people to understand the importance of what we were doing, we were tremendously successful and we had a great following because we took a really elementary approach and just tried to get people to recognize the importance of what we were doing. So what that was is, pay attention to cybersecurity. You are responsible for cybersecurity. I don't care if you are the admin, if you are, frankly, if you are a contractor at Cisco and just have access to our network, everyone has to take accountability and realize they're responsible for their clicks, for their motions, for anything that you do on the Cisco network that could potentially compromise you, the company, or a customer, partner, even worse, right? So what we had to explain to them is, don't just think that InfoSec is going to take care of everything. IT and InfoSec can do what they can do to steer you the right way, but are you paying attention? They can't catch every click that you do. And yes, of course, we have formal processes in place, but there's always loopholes. The bad guys are very, very vigilant.
Very creative.
And they get relentless. I mean, and it's ever evolving, which is why this project is so exciting. And it's by no means stopped because I transitioned off of it. I just had a new opportunity. So my partner is actually still working on this and still working to evolve it. But really what we did is we took a really creative visual concept to try to get people's attention because, again, the noise. Mm-hmm. How do we get through the noise? So she had this brilliant idea of these. She was inspired by these little monsters at her boyfriend's house. Her boyfriend's son had these little trash can monsters, and she thought, what if those are the viruses? Or just hypothetically, right? We talked way more than just viruses, but it's just something that stemmed her creativity. And
to visualize it, because a lot of the times you can't see these things. You don't understand what's going on the network. So to have the icon or the image.
So that monster essentially like the mascot for
precisely
malware or cybersecurity like baddies.
So yeah, exactly. So we kind of call them the cybersecurity monsters, and it was really fun because we actually got to commission artists because they had to be Cisco monsters. We couldn't just take a monster off the shelf and say, "Hey, these are them," right? It's copyright issues, you name it. So we actually had the luxury of hiring artists, and the cast of monsters that we have, they're derivatives of probably two or three original artist creations that we kind of morphed on a little bit. Some of them we had to like, oh, we got to change that. The little visual cues here and there. They're like, we got to make sure these are globally friendly. So then we shop them globally to make sure it's like, does this like represent a demon in your culture? We don't know. You have to be careful about that stuff in a global company.
Yeah.
And so it's internal facing. So we had the luxury of being able to shop it around and have a pretty safe base and making sure that we were doing the right thing. But that we encountered some internal challenges with that as well, because it's like, well, you're trying, this is not on brand. And it wasn't part of Cisco brand, but we kind of were like, well,
push the envelope.
We have to be a little bit creative. That's what we're trying to do. We're not going external. So so Brand got on board with us. They were great partners. Like, we totally understood their concerns. And so what we did is we got the approval. We created those. And then we worked with an agency that really helped us to wrap everything up and think about how are we going to do this multimedia reach. We are a global company. So yeah. If a person is sitting at home in their office, they're not seeing your posters on the wall. They're not seeing digital signage in the cafeteria. So we had a very robust digital campaign that was also reaching people on their desktops. We had a website. We still actually have all of these things. And where we could, we rewarded to incent. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
Do a task, get entered into a drawing, complete all 12 tasks, and win a toy monster. So we even had toy monsters developed, and those are a hit, right?
Free stuff is always good.
Yeah. Free stuff is always good. So you just have, again, filter through the noise. What's in it for me? Well, good best practices for cybersecurity that you can take home, you can teach your family and friends, and you can be more savvy, and then you can be confident in what you're doing at Cisco and making sure that you're not creating a compromise or helping mm-hmm. colleagues that you see doing something. I mean, it's as simple as not leaving your laptop open when you walk away to go to the restroom.
Absolutely.
There's very simple things. So without going into too much detail, we took a very complex concept and rode the coattails of a statement that one of our former CIOs, Rebecca Jacoby, said. She said, everyone is responsible for cybersecurity. And she said that at the time we were doing this. We're like, brilliant. So she gave us the legroom that we needed. And we just rode the coattails of that. So seeing the success of that, the familiar, it's to me, and maybe I'm tuning my horn a little bit too much, but I get excited about it because I feel when you talk to the average person at Cisco, like we all know the brand Coca-Cola.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like people know the monsters. Whether they know what group produced them, they know they're the monsters, they know they're Cisco monsters, and they know they're about cybersecurity. So the layman could probably tell you, yes, I'm familiar with that. Whether they can tell you all the things we've taught them, that's one thing. But we've scratched the surface in a huge way. Yeah. So that in itself was very, very exciting.
And if you don't know the monsters now and you're listening, you will start to see them. I guarantee they're going to be on windows and the doors. They're going to be cutouts in the lobby.
Right.
People's laptops. They'll definitely start to kind of make themselves known if you're not aware yet.
Yes. And on the external note, the exciting thing is it is evolving and we will have some sort of a case study put out. So
that'll be awesome. Yeah.
Externally, people will be able to learn a little bit about them as well. We don't have a formal campaign, but we'll be sharing a little bit of our best practice in a case study.
I think that's good. We're looking forward to that. So that's pretty cool. So let's switch gears here.
Yeah.
So I think everyone here may, if you aren't in a relationship, you've been in a relationship. And so with relationships or marriages, right, you know, the honeymoon phase doesn't last but for so long, right? So sometimes if you've been with someone for 5-10 years, you get to learn the good, the bad, and the ugly, and you kind of get used to each other. I think the same thing exists for where you work. So rarely do you get to work for a place for 20 years without it being an all, you know, cookies and whipped cream and everything. And so maybe talk to us about what you've seen here. Cisco is probably a very different place now than it was 20 years ago, even 10 years ago, definitely.
Yes.
So talk to us about that change. And here on the show, we're not afraid to tackle, you know, the ups and the downs, right? Because no place can be perfect, right?
Mm-hmm. So sure. Yeah. So you're right. Just like a relationship, right? Like, oh, they don't put the cap on the toothpaste. That's so annoying.
The socks on the floor.
Yeah. It's like, why does the clothes go in front of the hamper instead of in?
What was I thinking? Why is this even?
I don't know what causes that, but man. So what I really would like to say is it's the people. The people evolve a company. Mm-hmm. Of course, innovation and business shifts a company, but ultimately what makes an experience for me is Cisco doesn't happen without the people that make Cisco work. And so I think to your point, yes, Cisco has changed over these 20 years, but what I've really noticed, it's an evolution in the culture and on culture. Let's double click on that because that's what's interesting. You sit in different parts of the company, which I've had the luxury of doing in 20 years. I've sat in engineering. I've sat in operations. I've sat in marketing and communications. Yeah. I've sat in cybersecurity. I could go on. It's not about my laundry list, but my point is, everywhere you sit fosters a different culture. Why? Because the root of the culture is the people.
Yeah.
And usually that's started from the top. So I've sat in places where I felt it was a dictatorship.
Uh-huh.
I have also sat in places where I felt like it was a completely open and collaborative environment. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, you see the product of the work and you can tell what kind of culture it is. And there are some people that love to sit in a dictatorship because they just want to be told what to do and they want to check the box and they want to know that they've done it right. I'll tell you what, I'm not that girl. I'm not that girl. And it's fine because I had to learn that, because in some, I do like to check off boxes and I do like to know that I'm aligned. And I think that's really big at Cisco, is we all want to know, like, how are we hitting?
We're reaching the goals. We're doing what we need to do. But yeah, it's not that rigid system. Yeah, that you have to stay in. There's the creativity, but like you said, to your sure point, some people enjoy that.
And then going down to the people, right? So this can be culture, or this can just be individual. We've all had those managers that we just love. We've all had those managers at work, and we've all had those managers that it's like, all right, this is definitely not the easiest, but we make it work. And that's okay, because that's people. That's why you're not friends with everybody, right? You can be acquaintances, you can be friends, or you can choose not to spend any time with a person because you just don't jive with them. Well, I feel like managerial style has a lot to do with retaining people, or back to command and control. Like, how much freedom are you going to give this person to get a task done? I've had managers that are like, this isn't done the way that I wanted it. But did we still get to the end goal? Because yeah, I thought this was my goal. So, you know, I didn't know we were following the Candyland map, and I had to stop at the castle steps, first. Yes. So I didn't stop at the castle and eat a lollipop, but I still got to the end of the game and we still accomplished the goal. So, you know, you also have those managers that are like, why are you telling me all of this detail? You just got what it, you needed yeah done yeah and it's done. Great. So I feel like part of the shifts in the company starts from the top, starts from the leadership, and then culture. Culture is so big. And I think that's one thing Cisco's really growing in. Mm-hmm. I've seen it evolve so much. And there's, I'm not going to lie, there's positives and negatives. It's not, yeah, it's not all pretty. It's, there's hard topics. But you know what I can say I appreciate about Cisco and culture? And this is from day one. We are a global company, and I sit in San Jose, where I had the luxury of living in a melting pot my whole life.
Yeah,
I've lived in a melting pot because I live here. So for me, I'm used to having all makes and kinds around me and hearing different opinions, and I appreciate that. But I realized as I stepped out into the world and started broadening my perspective, that wasn't everyone's experience, mm-hmm, and I took that for granted. Yeah. So to me, it actually felt like a luxury,
yeah,
you know, and sometimes I was like, wow, that person's really small-minded. But I was like, how small-minded of me? That was their experience.
Yeah.
So it was like, you catch yourself and you're like, oh, I was kind of judging that other person, but it's like, that was their experience. I just happened to have a different one.
Yeah.
So it just helps you broaden your perspective. So what I will say is, coming to Cisco, I did feel like I saw a representation of a lot of different makeups. And what I appreciated is, in most cases, everyone's opinion was welcomed.
Yeah.
And that was what was important to me, because that's what I was used to. Mm-hmm. But it was, you could see, again, it
wasn't everybody else's experience.
Right.
Yeah.
And then back to certain organizations that you sit in, there were nuances where it's like, that person was allowed to say what they wanted to say, but what happened with it? Like, did it count? Did it go anywhere? And I'm like, maybe I'm just sitting in a spot where I didn't have the opportunity. I'm being optimistic, right?
Yeah.
Maybe I just didn't see the follow through. But you start, I'm a dot connector. I read between the lines. That's just what I do.
Yeah.
And there's been cases where I was like, it just makes you reevaluate if you like where you're sitting. And mm-hmm, I'm not the type of person to sit in a chair that I don't really like. And that doesn't mean that I'll just jump ship. But what that means is you start to look for places that you fit and you feel good and you feel your values match. So to me, number one value, people are respected. People are heard.
Yeah.
And so I've shifted in places because I felt like that wasn't the case. But I'll say, by and large, that exists here. And I like that. Do I think we have great opportunity? Absolutely. Yeah. So we want to dive into that. There's some of that.
Yeah, I think you touched on something. You said something really powerful and impactful. You talked about, it's about people. And I thought, I'm like, man, it's about people, not boxes. I'm not one of those people that's just like, oh my gosh, I talk about where I work all the time. But I am one to call out when someone's getting it right or trying to get it right. And I think that I hear about this golden age of sales where you could just print off POs back in the day when Cisco was selling boxes. And I think sometimes there's this mindset. I get defensive when people say, oh, you work for Cisco. You guys do you know, yeah, like boxes or networking, right? And I'm just like, because in my mind, I'm like, I've done so many different things here. I've held so many different roles. I've been just as involved in cultural activities, diversity and inclusion, this mm-hmm. podcast, different sort of efforts in addition to my day job, to where it all starts to blend together. And to me, that's the magic of it. I think it's okay to, when we grow up, we want the human experience, but no one grows up saying that, oh my gosh, like the Catalyst 5000 or whatever it is, I just want to go make that one day and I'm going to work my way up towards doing that. Cisco has become just so much more than that. And I think that where Chuck and his leadership team has started to get it right in that it is about the people. Mm-hmm. I mean, you go on Twitter. Yeah, we talk about our products and new silicone and all that good stuff, whatever. But you see people. I mean, I'm seeing stories all over the place. I'm seeing Cisco take a stance on global issues. I'm seeing Cisco take a stance on owning, maybe we don't have as many women in leadership as we should. Maybe mm-hmm. we don't have as many Black people as we should. Let's talk about that. Let's have that awkward conversation. I've been a part of those conversations.
Yes.
And you talked about perspective, right? I've heard people air their grievances, right, and say that, look, I was a part of a diversity effort and I don't feel like you guys did anything about it. And I'm doubtful. And Cisco has been like, okay, yeah, we messed up. We owned it. Mm-hmm. And to me, are we there? No, we're not there. But the car is moving. We got gas in it and we're asking the right question. And to me, that's important. I view it as culture stock, right? So right now, the hot stock, I don't know, you can say Amazon, Apple, whatever it is. But your culture is a stock as well. I'm like, and I feel like we're on the way up. I mean, we've got nowhere to go but up with this. And I think
we are. I really appreciate your perspective on that. And that's kind of what I was saying. Like, if you wanted to get into that when I closed my last point, was we aren't perfect, but I'm seeing a lot happen. And yeah. I think that, to your point, back to the leadership point, it all comes back to the people.
Yeah.
Chuck is starting to dive into that human element. And I feel like there's a lot of olive branches here. So I'm gonna stick with the cultural piece first. And then I want to go back to like what he cares about and some giving back and things like that and making an impact. But sticking with the culture point now and like how we're managing diversity or improving, rather, you know, we have heard that feedback is very consistent. Like we do these programs and we hear all this feedback, but they're tough conversations. It's hard topics. It makes people feel very uncomfortable.
Yep.
It makes people feel very, very uncomfortable. And I think what we have to do is start to break those former, we don't talk about like politics, right? Mm-hmm. We shouldn't talk about politics. We need to talk about diversity. I'm sorry.
There's no getting around it.
No, there's not. We're people. That people come from all makes and models. That's where the brilliant thinking comes from.
Yeah,
Put different people in a room. You get a better product. Like that's, whether it's an idea or a physical product, like you said, the Cat 5000, it's something about breaking down those barriers and making people feel safe. But people need guidance because you are a corporation and feelings can be hurt and boundaries will be crossed. So it is one of those, it's a thorn on the rose, right? Mm-hmm. The rose is beautiful. There's an amazing opportunity, but there's some thorns we have to get through. And no one's an expert at this yet. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
But people make brilliant points. And it's like, I'll never know the Black experience, but I'm going to speak to my experience on learning about the Black experience because I've been working with one of my partners who is very passionate about this. Shout out to Latita Martin because she is doing amazing work.
She is doing great work, yeah.
Okay. And
yeah.
I've had the luxury of working with her, and that's, I told her, I was like, I'll never know the Black experience, but she's told me certain things or some of the byproducts of what her work is. Like she did these videos that were called Middle Ground videos, and we touched on some of those topics in those videos, and I didn't participate in the actual videos, but they talked about tough questions, and one of the things that came up is a person said, I had to put myself in their shoes. They said, well, looking at the org chart, I don't ever have a chance of being promoted. Wow. You know what? I was thinking about as a child, like I could go to the toy store and I could get a Cabbage Patch that looked just like me.
Yeah.
Could my Black counterparts do that back in the 80s? I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
And it really made me, and that might seem like a really weird example, but I started really putting myself in those shoes. And it's like, when did Black Barbies come out?
It's like chocolate Band-Aids. They just came out with those too. And I'm just like,
something I never thought about. Yeah. Because that's not my experience, but that doesn't mean I don't appreciate it, right?
It's very true.
I have to be told those things to actually think about it. And that's what I like about this culture. And that's why I love the people, mm-hmm. right? And that's why I like these conversations. And I might mess up and say something wrong in that room, but
I'm going to be brave
I'm going to try. And if I offend someone, I will apologize because I'm never here to hurt anyone's feelings.
Yeah.
I want to learn. And we're going to trip over our feet while we learn. And I think that's what I'm getting at in this whole, those are the thorns. Be comfortable tripping over your feet. But as long as everyone comes in with positive intent and respect for other people, I think we're going to win. I think we'll end up on top because guess what? You're making it real. You're making it a dialogue. And we have to cross those hurdles before it becomes a common thing for everybody.
This podcast is brought to you by We Are Cisco Employees, who love working at Cisco and are proud to be awarded World's Best Workplace for 2019.
I want to double click on something you said, because I'm a data-driven person, you know, call it engineering background, whatever it is. And I get frustrated, especially in the tech world, because I'm like, what does the data tell us? You talked about having a diverse team and that's how you create a great product. I say it a lot, like the person that hired me in my last role, Ben Dawson, Ben was just a great, he's VP of web now, but he set out, I mean, that team that I was on was one of the most diverse teams I've seen at Cisco. We had early in career, we had people that had been here 20 years, we had women, we had, you know, different races. And it was just like, we would show up, I never forget, we showed up, we went skiing or something like that, we did a team outing, and we showed up and we walked in and people were just like, I'm trying to figure out what is happening here because are you like a band?
You were the melting pot.
You know, and we were just like, and you asked Ben, and he was just like, he's Australian. I won't mimic his accent, but he's just like, I didn't set out to do it. He's like, I just set out to hire the best. And I looked in places, and when people brought me talent, I listened. And I looked one day, and I had this incredibly diverse team. And Ben gets it. I mean, he's also one of the same people that said he went to executive leadership meetings, and when they put numbers up there, they didn't look good. And he was just like, I was embarrassed. And we just skipped by it. They just went past. He's like, no, I think we should kind of talk about that, why that number. Mm-hmm. And again, he gets it, and our team performed. We killed it. The Microsoft team is known as one of the most talented teams, and it's because of that diversity. Not diversity for the sake of just, okay, I need a brown person, I need a gay person,
it's
I need a
numbers.
Female. No. Mm-hmm. If you really are approaching it the right way and you're really entertaining diversity of thought, diversity of preference, you will get it. The numbers say it. And I guess I just don't get how tech companies like don't get that. It doesn't have to be forced down your throat, but it needs to be acknowledged.
It's organic diversity, and you're right. And I love that we have good examples of that within the company, because I've sat in places where that truly was what it was. People were hiring top talent, and it says a lot for how people feel. And I think that also breeds positivity, which also gives better work products. So it's just, like you said, and I love that you said that, because visually everyone's like, wait, what's happening? And I think that says a lot. That's so cool. I would have loved to see your guys' org chart at that point, because you're right. I have seen, people skip over those uncomfortable numbers. Or some people are like, well, we have to hit like this number. So we're just trying to trend like right on just so we can skip through the slide without talking about it.
So be like, well, so
you know, this is in process.
We're improving, give it time. And
and I think those days are starting to be fewer and far between. I think Cisco and Chuck, to your point earlier, is making a really good example. Check out how many executive women we have under Chuck now. Yeah. And again, it's not just to check the box. These ladies are brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I've been here a long time, and I'm like, wow, when John left, I was kind of petrified. Like, that's all I knew.
What's going to happen?
And then when Chuck came in, I'm loving it. He's great. He does what he says. He says what he means. And I'm really starting to see a positive shift in so many elements. So the women leadership is just one thing. And I'm, again, not a check the box. These women are doing great things.
They're more than just their appearance.
Yeah, and they're hilarious too. I've seen the days of Cisco where our executives seemed kind of stoic, and that doesn't mean that they weren't great people. They just didn't come across as approachable. Whereas I feel like we're breaking that down. And I saw that shift in Cisco when I was here under John's leadership. You know, we went from that, you know, we don't want to be a command and control company anymore. We want to be collaborative. And at first it felt like lip service. Because again, it's a concept we're throwing out there and he's saying it, but is everyone going to do it? Well, you know, you had a subset of his leaders who were doing it. And then you had a subset of his leaders who were like in the meeting, like, sure, we'll do that. And nothing really changed. And that's people, right? That's just how it happens. But I'm getting long winded, but back to it, it's, you can see the shift. And I feel like Chuck is really making that human element accessible. And you talked about that in one of your points. And one of the things that I love about Chuck, and I'm so proud to work at Cisco still after 20 years, is we care about our communities. Mm-hmm. We care about our corporate social responsibility and how we show up. And that, I can't say I grew up Volunteering. I can say I grew up as a giving person. We didn't have much in my family, but if we saw a homeless person, my mom would dig $5 out of her purse so I could give it to the man on the street. Mm-hmm. And that's just kind of my core values and principles. Well, bringing that into Cisco, Cisco has given me an amazing insight and opportunity into an impact that not only I can personally contribute, but I can rally other people to contribute under Cisco's name. And in some cases, if you learn to navigate and take an active role with Cisco's money, I've done it. I've worked with Habitat for Humanity and represented Habitat within Cisco. So great. Mm-hmm. So within the Bay Area specifically, because if you're not familiar with Habitat, they operate in affiliates, which is basically where you're located. Mm-hmm. And then they have an international wing as well. But let's just talk about what my experience was with the local piece where I could make an impact. And I learned that myself and a partner started doing internal marketing because Habitat was running low on volunteers. It's a great mission.
And it takes a lot of people. I mean, one person can't make a host. You definitely need a good crew or solid group of people to be
there. And they have requirements to make it worth Habitat's time. And so that's, we would have onesie twosies and whatnot. So we're like, we can really get behind this and we can make a difference. So my partner, who's no longer at Cisco, we had passion for this. And this was not our day job, to be clear.
Yeah.
This was, Cisco afforded us this avenue. And if we were willing to put the extra work in on top of our day job, well, go for
it. Yeah, go ahead.
And then Habitat got paid for that in certain ways because Cisco matches. So an approved organization, every hour I spent marketing for Habitat, I could log that. Habitat gets $10 on the hour for my time and they get the benefit of my marketing, which basically brought volunteers to them, which inherently brought them $10 an hour for every volunteer that we got there. So as you start to think about the cycle, the positive cycle that creates and the impact to the community and bridging that to Chuck without going too far. Chuck has made a very big contribution recently to the Bay Area homeless issue. And we stepped up as a corporation and kind of set a precedent that I hope a lot of corporations start to follow. Because if you look at kind of the root of some of the challenges that the Bay Area is facing, a lot of us corporations are a little bit responsible for that. The housing changes we're bringing people in and driving some people out, right?
Yeah.
Whether that's good or bad or right or wrong, I think it's good that we're doing something to acknowledge that we can make a difference, whether that means we're taking accountability for that change or not. We're doing something about a problem that we see.
Especially in the community. It's not just let's throw money at this or, we'll feel good about it. It's something that our employees see, experience, you know, it's our backyard, it's our neighbor, it's whatnot. So it's even more, I feel personal and connected.
It is. And the thing that's really struck me, especially as of late, and I've lived here all my life, I'm starting to see more and more homeless camps in just random spots along the freeway. And that's not how it always was. And so like you said, it's your backyard, like places that were just, you know, freestanding field. There's now just encampments. And then you see the heartbreaking challenge where the authorities come and break them up. Well, where do they go? They're just going to go find a new place.
Another place.
I'm not saying it's not a safety hazard or whatnot, because I'll be honest, I saw a homeless encampment on fire one day. I had to actually call it in. And that's scary because that's your backyard. But at the same time, those people have to have a place to live too. So I'm getting long-winded on that. But I wanted to tie it back to Habitat, because one of the cool things, so I just connected these dots the other day on a Habitat call. We met with them just yesterday. And we actually have a project with Habitat going right now where they're building tiny homes. And so I actually helped construct the first round of tiny homes. And what I was connecting the dots on is, wow, Chuck just gave a big batch of money to help seed the program for helping the homeless epidemic. And Habitat is now, you know, a lot of people see Habitat as, those people have to have money and they already have to have jobs because you have to qualify and you have to build and do all these things. But what I love is now Habitat is looking at ways to bridge those gaps.
Also,
and guess what? Since we partner with Habitat, Cisco can come in and also do that. So actually was super excited to see, this is actually a trifecta. You know, Cisco is funding Habitat and helping with volunteerism. We also fund some builds if we can submit build grants, which we do on a regular basis. And if Cisco Foundation has money, we donate and we get to actually sponsor some of those builds. That feels good. But then when you see the connection to bridging the gaps that are outside of affordable housing. Some people don't have housing at all, mm-hmm. and giving those people the opportunity to transition. So it's just really exciting to see over time. And then especially our CEO is the one setting the precedent. So I'm like, if any of these other executives are listening from other companies, get on board. Like this is an opportunity. It's something we can all feel good about. And when you look at what you're contributing versus what the problem is, like it's peanuts out of your pocketbook and you feel good. Like, come on.
You know, that's so true. And it's funny when I think about the type of leader that I want to be. But when people ask me, they're just like, well, wait, you live in Seattle. And they're like, oh, you know, have you gone here? Have you gone there yet? And I'm just like, there's more to it than just what your day job is. There's more mm-hmm. to it than just the technology. And I think Cisco gets that. And so I've seen our online presence go from more so just as much about our products, about the people, what they're doing, how we're enabling them. And when the leader leads by example and it filters down, before you knew it, you have a culture revolution. And yeah. I think nowadays, like especially now in 2020, I think you turn on the news and there's just craziness. I mean, there's things happening politically. There's things happening in the environment.
Yeah.
And there's never been a better time for the company to make a statement through its actions. And so much of what you said today has been action-oriented, not just words, not just a PowerPoint slide at GSX or Cisco Impact, and not just a tweet or a marketing campaign. Right. It is action. So that's important.
It really is. And it's such a treat to be able to be empowered in a company where you can take that action, because yeah. it's nice to know that you're part of something actually happening instead of all this ideation that never comes to fruition. Yeah.
You get to be part of that action. And I think that, like you said, when you start to see these connections, or sure. if you just casually do, you know, an afternoon at the food bank, or you do these kind of ones off, and then you start to see this bigger picture, and you're yeah. no longer just little Madison. I don't want to say it can be lonely in a company this big, but there's a lot of people doing a lot of great things. And when you can kind of feel like your drop in the bucket isn't just a drop in the bucket, but it's like this collective
shared
impact
yeah.
is I think really rewarding, regardless of how you're doing that.
It really is. And I think one of the benefits of that and the things that I love the most is when you get excited about something, you tell your counterparts, and then yeah. it becomes like viral, like get everyone excited. Like I feel good when I go to Habitat. So I'm like, everyone should come. I know it's like taking a day off of work, but it's for someone else's benefit. I promise you won't feel bad about it after. Yeah. You might be sore. You might get sunburned, but you'll have fun.
Yeah. But I think even with Cisco, I mean, we've talked about it without directly saying it. I mean, we have a great time to give program. And so when you're at Cisco, you don't have to give up your vacation time. You don't have right. to, you know, use that personal side of things. You're given, what is it, 5 days, 40
yeah,
hours
week.
A
yeah.
year
mm-hmm.
that you can either do, you know, 1 or 2 hours here, or you can take a full day. Or somebody on my team just took a week in Mexico to do a mission trip. And so
that's
however
great.
You want to give back, little or big, like you have the ability and you're empowered, back to the leadership, you know, you're empowered to make those changes. And it's not just one person or one team, you know, we're
right.
all able to do those things.
And tying that back to culture, what I'm getting excited about, because Chuck has really formalized that with mm-hmm. the time to give, and he really like stands behind it. Like you had mentioned, he's not just throwing it up on a PowerPoint slide and saying, hey, we should do this. They're measuring those hours. They're talking to our leaders about the impacts that we're making. So long-windedly, what I'm getting at is my current leader, he cares about that. He told people before break, if you haven't used that time to give, start doing it now.
Yeah.
And by the way, we are blessed. We make good money. Think about making a donation, because we make matches.
Yeah.
We match.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
take advantage of it.
Take that opportunity. I mean, every individual has the opportunity to have $10,000 in matching. I'm not saying everyone has $10,000 in the bank to go get matched, but
to give it, yeah.
I bet you got that $50 to give to the food bank. And don't just think about it at Christmas. Like, everyone needs to eat all year round, and you'd mm-hmm. be surprised, to your point, Mads, at the statistics.
Yeah.
Like, there are several children in one classroom that are sitting there hungry. And that breaks my heart, because you don't know that by looking at a child. And are they getting their full opportunity? There's so many, like you mentioned, Chris, you're data driven, right?
Yeah.
When I hear those statistics, when I'm sitting at Second Harvest Food Bank, my heart breaks, because those are things that the average person doesn't think about. Mm-hmm. I never thought about how many kids in my classroom were starving when I was younger, but I guarantee you there was a handful of them. My mom was always a giver, even though she didn't have a lot. And I latch on to that. And I think I do a lot of that in her memory. So mm-hmm. telling you why my family and my friends are the thing I always go back to, I can't say that I have these, you know, crazy hobbies. I used to be really into scrapbooking and do all kinds of stuff. But I'm sure that's not a thing anymore. I bake on the side. That's fun too. But I mean, those things are just things that I like to do. It's nothing formal. I wouldn't say that I have this like schedule to do it. But year round, I try to make sure that I'm making an impact and always staying connected with my people, because that's what it's all about. I've lost some people. And when you know, that I can tie this back to Cisco and why this is important, but I always want to make sure, because we do spend so much time working,
yeah,
that in our downtime, we're making sure to fill that time with the things that matter. And to me, over time, I'm nearing 40 years old, and I've had the loss of all of my parents and most of my grandparents. I have a grandma left. Yeah. I lost my mom unexpectedly when I was about, what was I, 28. That might seem old, because I know some people have lost their parents when they're young, right? But yeah, my mom was mom and dad. And so when I lost my mom unexpectedly, it just shifted my perspective. And that's really what made me realize this is where I want to spend my time, because I felt like I was robbed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very true.
My grandmother is where I was spending all my time, because in my mind, chronologically, grandma was going to go first.
Yeah.
And mom's actually the one that taught me, like, we take care of grandma. Like, that's just how family was. Mm-hmm. And my mom wasn't, like, upset that I would prioritize my grandma and nothing. It's mm-hmm. like my grandfather had passed away, so my grandma had needs, and we would just make it a routine. Like, we had Thursday standing date, and that was at minimum. Sundays, I would take her to church, right?
That's so great.
And so there were just certain things that I prioritized. Well, then my mom passed away, so I was like, oh, my gosh, I've got it all wrong. And then I left with this guilt. Yeah. It's like, chronologically,
it didn't work out the way we thought it would. Yeah. And that's life, right? I mean,
yeah. So you learn those things and it helps you prioritize. But one thing, I want to tie this back to the Cisco family. Yeah. And this is why I love Cisco. People, again, people, yeah, culture. I lost my mom unexpectedly. The team that was there for me when this happened. I had friends at Cisco, because back to the people, like, we come up with people, like, we meet, like, we're always going to stay in contact with whether we work in the same group or not. And I've had so many amazing friendships cultivated here. But back to my loss and what had actually happened, I always heard John say, you know, it's the Cisco family here. And it was a buzzword at some point. I wasn't really sure what it meant. I was still growing up in the company. And I'm like, okay, that's what they all say, right?
Yeah.
So I don't want to discount his words, because I felt his words at one point. And that's what made it real for me. That's when it clicked. And that's when it became part of why I wanted to stay at Cisco and why I am loyal to Cisco still to this day, is everyone just banded around to make sure that my work was covered, that my emotional support system was there. My manager, she would call and check on me regularly. And not that these material things matter, but one of my colleagues, bless her heart, she got the whole team together and showered my family with a bunch of gift cards so we could go get massages or go to the movies or go to dinner and just keep our minds off of things while we were going through this really tough process. And so I do feel like there's a huge sense of community here. And some of these people weren't necessarily people I considered friends, but people come together and you start to see, who cares.
Yeah.
You see who cares, and everybody cares. I promise everyone. Most people have very positive, respectful intent. And it's really cool to see in those times when this comes out, whether you have a loss in the family or you get together for a community activity.
Yeah.
It's just a really cool place to breed positivity and just see opportunity. So long-windedly, I like to spend time with my friends and family because I spend so much time at Cisco that I want to make sure that I'm reconnecting with my roots and being the best me that I can be and just making an impact where I can.
We're always looking for great people to join our company. If these conversations are resonating with you and Cisco sounds like your dream workplace, visit cs.co/Team Cisco to learn how you can become a Cisconian.
I kind of have this fun. I think it's fun. Maybe people don't think it's fun, but I think it's fun.
You're fun. I bet it is.
So I call it this or that. So I'm going to give you two things and you choose this or that.
Ooh, is this rapid fire?
originally, the intent was to be like, okay, go. But I think we've kind of, we ask and then it just responses come and then we learn a little bit more about you. So
all right, let's do it.
The first one is breakfast or dinner?
Ooh. I say breakfast. I love breakfast food. And I don't think I go out to breakfast enough. So I'm always like, ooh, what do I get? Do
I say sweet breakfast or savory?
I was going to say, maybe you get a little.
My mom would like you. That was my mom's jam.
Yeah.
I'm going to say brunch. I'm a brunch
fan. Ooh, okay.
Brunch for life.
You didn't give me that as an option.
The brunch place is too crowded. It's just oversaturated.
So it's true.
You can never
get
a table anywhere. It's just like, oh my gosh, any place worth this salt is like a 2-hour wait. And then by then it's dinner. So
you're right.
Then that's breakfast for dinner.
Right.
There you go.
So you were right all along.
Yeah.
On WebEx, do you use your video or do you just use audio?
okay, let's talk about this. I'm getting better. I'm using video more. What I used to do is not use video unless the other person did. And then I realized if everyone does that, no one will do it.
Nobody's gonna be on it, yeah.
Be the change. So I'm taking accountability and getting better about that. But I was sick the other day and I was like, I'm sparing everyone.
Sometimes it's okay to not do that. The next one is a concert or a show?
I'm definitely more of a concert girl.
Okay.
I like the energy.
Do you remember the last concert you went to?
Oh, gosh. It was a country concert in a big lineup. I can't tell you exactly who it was. Isn't that embarrassing? But that's why I like concerts, because they're social. And, like, sometimes I'm like, wait.
What even happened?
I was enjoying my family and friends. We usually do lawn seats. We just chat and socialize. Nice. So it was definitely a country concert, but I couldn't tell you which.
Okay. Buttercream or fondant?
Oh, buttercream all the way.
I feel like, what was it, Cake Boss, that brought on, like, the fondant fad. But yes. I feel like all bakers are like, stay away from it. Like,
yeah, it looks good. It looks good, but usually there's buttercream under there that's holding the fondant on. So buttercream rules.
Buttercream all the way. All right, and my last one for you. It's not a this or that, but blank doesn't belong on pizza.
Oh, I would have to say anchovies. That's just so weird.
Read my mind.
Yeah. I bet you a lot of people say pineapple, but I'm like, no, it does. It does.
Pineapple, Canadian bacon.
I'm that weird girl. Like, I want pineapple and olive. I want pineapple and olive. Yeah. That's so weird, right? I like sweet and salty.
And sweet.
Yeah, okay. I don't know. It's weird,
I'm
right?
I'm not going to lie. Yeah, I'm not
face,
on board with that.
Your but facial all right. expression was so great.
Give it away. Like, oh, that's, I'm just picturing it. It's like,
He's like, I'll take the anchovies.
Yeah, exactly.
Clearly, I only get that combo when I get a personal pizza.
Well, awesome. This has been a fun conversation, Marianne. We've enjoyed it. We've enjoyed the passion and energy you bring to this conversation. And I think that our mission is to just spread more of that energy around. So thanks so much. Our theme here is that we really appreciate our guests taking the time out of the day to come talk to us and giving of themselves. And in the spirit of gratitude, we always want to say, is there anything that Madison and I can do for you? Or is there anything we can use this platform for to help you out in any way or promote something? The floor is yours.
I feel like, first of all, thank you for having me. It's an absolute pleasure to be here. This is so much fun, and I can't wait to hear the other interviews. I think what you guys are doing is amazing, because back to the people, right?
Yeah, it's all about the people.
I feel very passionate about what you're doing, and I'm thrilled to be here. I think that there, once we have that case study ready, I would mm-hmm. love if you guys can help promote that. I'll get you a link to it. I just think it's really interesting, because what it does is it can give other companies or even individuals just some ideas on, one, how to stay safe themselves mm-hmm. online, because it's really important. The attacks are getting more sophisticated, but for anyone who's doing similar kind of work, we can tell you what we've learned and some of the things that have worked. And I think that can help people sift through a lot of what we had to do ourselves. And if we can help people protect themselves, obviously Cisco doesn't want to be the only one who's protected. We want to help other people protect themselves. So I think that's huge. And that's, you know, give back what we've learned there, and tell people to go volunteer and make a difference in your community. I don't care where you live, go do something. You'll feel good about it. And it's just the right thing to do.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much. We hope you enjoy the rest of your week, and thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the We Are Cisco podcast with Chris Richardson and Madison Setness. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen. And if you like what you're hearing, feel free to leave us a review.
You can keep up with us by following We Are Cisco on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and Cisco on LinkedIn.
Thank you for listening.